Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Middle of the week on a Wednesday. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Kelly Center, Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and beautiful downtown Laurel. Southern Miss golf coach Eddie Brescher joins us later as we talk to him about the recent golf tournament. Look forward to next week's Sunbelt golf tournament. Dima Mixon will join us in the second segment. But this first segment brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue. Some of the best barbecue in the land. Cooked here, loved everywhere. Dickey's located in a community near you. Well, last night in the bottom of the ninth, Golden Eagle Baseball, with their backs to the wall, tie the ball game, and then this happened.
Here's Russo with a chance to win the ball game. Breaking ball, high fly ball, deep left field. It's a home run by Russo. A walk-off home run by Russo to win the ball game. Three-run home run to the opposite field by Russo. Way out of here. And the Eagles win it in walk-off fashion here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
A three-run home run walk-off by first baseman Matthew Russo, 402 feet, Kelly Sander. And you kind of told me before we went on today, you already knew the script and you were excited when people were going to find that out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's college baseball. We know it's like the WWE. It's already been predetermined. We know how it's going to happen. And we wish that were so. But, man, what a great time to bring in Travis Creel, who's our Wednesday guest, always talking about a win. And man, there it was, and you can talk about it all day long, but executing it and is a whole different deal. Great, great finish last night, Coach.
Yeah, it was. You know, I thought we got some good pitching toward the end of the game as well after that second inning, and some really good at bats throughout the day. So, really good to come out of there with a win against a really good, you know, regional caliber Nichols team.
And of course, one of the guys that's been making more headlines probably than anybody was Dalton McIntyre, and anybody that saw the game or was there saw the slide back into first base. With whatever you're comfortable sharing, can you update his physical status for us?
Yeah, he dislocated his shoulder. Kind of still waiting for tests the next couple of days to make sure nothing, you know, structurally happened in there. So it's day to day. You know, obviously praying that nothing's even going on in there that's too wrong. So hated for the kid, man. Obviously hated for our team because he's a really good player and all that, but he's put in so much work. I hate it for him, and you know, hopefully he'll be all right.
Well, collectively, Luke Johnson, the Eagle Nation holding its breath.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be huge, the fact that he's just going to miss a conference series this weekend. But guys will step up. Coach, let's talk about some of the guys that stepped up last night. Let's go back to the man that walked it off. Matt Russo had a big weekend in Georgia, batting .278 now. It was his third home run of the year. As a guy who a lot of Eagle fans expected that would be good when he was a young Eagle, now, you know, in several years in the program. How special was it for that young man, and what's he been doing to get this type of production in the last several weeks?
Yeah, really awesome for Matt. Man, I think with him, if you look back, you know, 12, 16 months ago, how far he's come. You know, and he knew last year, obviously, we were really old in the corners. We knew Sarge was going to play, but he really worked last year, and he really made himself into a good player. And then, you know, we run him out early in the year, and, you know, you can work on your swing all you want, but that game experience matters too, though. So, you know, a little shaky at the start of the year mentally, and then he's just grown up before our eyes, man, like a lot of our guys have. You know, it's obviously paying off, and he's given us great at-bats.
Big night for Nick Monastere last night, 3 for 3. Had the home run, the big home run, 4 RBIs, 4 runs, raising that average to 263. And I think, Coach, if people were just to ask, or if they were to wonder who was leading the team in RBIs, they would probably guess Wilkes, but
right.
Monastir one behind at 31. And what's been, you know, the with him, with the slow start that he had, he's really starting to take off.
Yeah, he's turning up lately, and obviously he got off to a tremendously slow start for him. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, he was in our lineup at the end of the year last year and played, you know, in the Super Regional and had some big hits. But at the end of the day, you know, he's only about 55, 60 games into his college baseball career on the field. So, again, you know, he's super talented. He's probably the most talented player on our team just from a tool standpoint. And, you know, very, very good competitor, very hard worker. So, when he gets rolling, it's really fun to watch. And, you know, in the ninth inning, I didn't want anybody else up but him. You know, he was the guy I wanted to play, and he was seeing the ball so well and comes up with that huge hit to tie the game before Russo's walk-off.
You guys talked about Slade Wilkes, and I want to talk a little bit about the shift, because teams are playing the shift on him, and if they haven't, they probably will. And it's because, obviously, the numbers say that he's going to be a dead pull hitter. Last night, it didn't look good coming off the bat, but it looked really good in the box score, kind of poked one out to left field where it was wide open. What do you do, right, Coach Creel, to coach players to find that open hole, even if it's not their necessarily natural or favorite swing?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Obviously, we want our guys to be unshiftable. With Slade, to be honest with you, he uses the whole field really well. Just for whatever reason, his swing pass, the ground balls don't go that way. You know, so the outfield has to play him pretty straight up because they can use the whole field. But, yeah, the ground balls obviously have a huge tendency to pull a ground ball, which is kind of natural for almost everybody. But, yeah, with him, it's just, you know, he doesn't hit ground balls to third. You know, he's trying to hit homers in the roost. So with that type of swing, you're not getting a ton of ground balls to third. So, yeah, it worked out for us twice last night, though. That was obviously a huge leadoff double to start the ninth.
But is it a matter of just letting the pitch get deeper on the plate to go the opposite way, or what's the key to going oppo?
Yeah, in its simplest form, it's contact point and direction with your swing. So pretty much wherever your chest or your lower half's pointing to, you know, that's usually where you hit the ball. So we call that direction. His direction, you know, is usually to the middle of the field. When it's like that, you're not going to hit a ton of ground balls backside. So, yeah, but it's just letting the ball get deeper and having the direction.
Let's talk pitching just for a second. Of course, that's Oz's world at the same time. Though he was thrilled last night. 14 strikeouts, 4 walks for Golden Eagle pitching.
Yeah, it was really good to see. I mean, I thought Chandler came in, and he had a little bit of bad luck, but he pitched really well. You know, JB was lights out once he settled in. And then it was great to see Nico at the end, you know, looking like himself. That was unhittable last night.
Yeah, and 27 pitches, and you know, I think Golden Eagle fans realizing that he needs to get more work in just because of the short stint Friday and the last couple of innings. I mean, you guys, our last couple of appearances, you guys using the midweek to allow him to work some stuff out in a real game action.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of, you know, Oz wanting to get more work since the last 3 weeks. He hasn't really reached that work threshold that, you know, we're trying to get to, but also, you know, he wanted to work on some things. He obviously didn't have his best stuff against Georgia State on Friday. So rolling back out there, you know, that worked on some things, you know, Sunday and Monday, and, you know, tried to execute them yesterday, and I thought he looked great.
The Eagles defensively, Coach, you know, were a little bit slack at times taking care of the ball. We had an errant throw from shortstop. There was an advantage that the Colonels took, some base running mistake. They took advantage on the bases by, you know, nobody covering third base on a play before it was too late, things like that. But, you know, things that happen so irregularly are tough to practice that often to where everybody's going to remember exactly what to do.
No, for sure. I think the old saying is you can go to a baseball game and see something you've never seen before every time you go. And that certainly happened yesterday with that kind of fluky play, and we overthrow second base, and then Broadus had to make a decision whether to come off or not. So, yeah, you know, I think for the most part this year, you know, we played pretty solid defense. Obviously, with DMAC going out, it moves a bunch of pieces around, which, you know, isn't good. But, you know, like y'all said earlier, it's kind of next man up mentality. And, you know, this game's not going to feel sorry for you. I can promise you that. So we got to get some guys some work in different places.
And luckily, it didn't cost the Eagles the game, Luke.
Absolutely, it didn't. Coach, About 45 seconds left. Right now, your offense batting 277, 45 home runs. Where have you been most pleased with the performance from game one until now?
I just think it's the growth of the new guys, man. Whether it's freshmen or JUCO guys or guys like Russo who just haven't played much here. You know, we knew there was going to be some learning curves early on and, you know, taking those lumps. But the hard part is taking those lumps and getting out of it. And I think our guys have shown they're really mentally tough and can fight out of that adversity, you know, slumping early in the year.
Good stuff. Well, Coach Creel, thanks for your time. And it was good to be back in the Pete last night. Looking forward to this weekend. Thanks for your time on this Wednesday.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
That's Travis Creel, assistant coach for Southern Miss Baseball. Golden Eagles win it walk-off style last night. Big hit from Monastir and big, huge 402-foot bomb to end it from Matthew Russo. They defeat Nichols 9-6. We're going to continue on this Wednesday. Dema Mixon will join us. More comments about the McIntyre situation, Nico Mazza, Matthew Russo, and the Golden Eagle baseball team right after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Campus Bookmart, that's with a T.com. They're open 24/7. And of course, as you get ready for that college graduation, your college graduate, what a time now to go in and get a shadow box where you can put that diploma. Of course, make sure that all your fees are paid because they're not going to give you your diploma until all your fees are paid.
So you're still waiting on yours.
Well, I'm working on it, Michael. I mean, they believe me when I say I went to Iowa State, but you want to hang that on the wall when you get it, and they've got the perfect protection for that. Campus Bookmart, along with all the other Southern Miss stuff that you can get in there for Christmas, you know, keychains all the way up to, you know, all types of equipment and gear. Campus Bookmart in the bright gold building across from the main entrance of the campus. You can't miss it. Dema Mixon joins us now, staff writer for the Big Gold Nation, also the student publication, The Student Prince at Southern Miss, and also a regular contributor on this program and host of the 4th Street Sports Show. My goodness, Dema, you're keeping busy. Your take from the baseball game last night.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, first of all. Always enjoy coming on the show. But, yeah, it was crazy. It was, you know, it seemed like just the most, at least in my view, a very boring game until about the sixth or seventh inning, and then Southern Miss, you know, Nick Monastir hit that three-run shot to kind of cut the lead to 6-5, and then felt like all the momentum was in Southern Miss's favor. And then you look over at first base, and Dalton McIntyre is sliding into first, and he can't get up. And you're like, oh goodness, you know. And then you hear a pin drop as far right. as how quiet it was at the Pete. And then somehow, some way, Southern Miss still finds a way, backs against the wall. Bottom of the ninth situation, and I think they were 0-9 in bottom of the ninth, so this season or something like that. But so they finally get it, and Pete Taylor Park Magic exists still, I guess.
Well, and I think what's really important to note too that the way that game ended last night is just the way a lot of teams start winning streaks, and conversely, yeah. Had the Eagles not been able to pull that out, it might have started a downhill trend against them. So it'll be fun to see what happens from here. But, man, that was, in the words of the former president, huge.
Well, you know, you think to last year, a lot of people are comparing that Georgia State series to the Coastal Carolina series when Southern Miss started to go on that 15-game win streak.
Right.
They had to go on the road to Tulane, and they needed a big home run from Slade Wilkes to take the lead in the ninth inning against Tulane as well. So you can draw a lot of comparisons to last year's win streak.
Now, I do think that the schedule doesn't allow for it this season because you got a tough road matchup at Louisiana, and then you got Coastal Carolina at home. So I don't think they're going to go on like a 15-game win streak, but I think they could definitely do, you know, 10-2 or 9-3 or whatever it is, which would be a lot beneficial to their record and conference standing.
Stranger things have happened, Luke.
Absolutely, they have. Let's go back to McIntyre. Creel told us this. You said this as well. Dislocated shoulder. Creel told us last segment. They're just waiting. You know, don't know what it looks like structurally. Who is the leadoff man now? How does the order change, Dima?
Well, I think as far as the lineup, you'll probably move Nick Monastery into center field. Probably put Gillespie in left, and then maybe Matthew Russo back at first. As far as who's the leadoff, you can make an argument for Pratt, I guess, just to kind of move up the lineup. You could also make an argument for Nick Monastery. He started off the season in leadoff, I think, or rather it was Pato. But I don't know. I mean, that's something they're going to have to figure out because I definitely don't think you're going to get him back this weekend. I would be pretty surprised. But like you said, they're just kind of waiting. I'll tell you from watching it, it did not look good at all. You know, he couldn't even stand up straight coming off the field. And I'm not trying to be a negative, but yeah. He was in a swing after the game, could not move his arm at all. He was on the field celebrating with the team, so that was good to see. But he was definitely in some sort of very strong swing. Obviously, you have to be with a dislocated shoulder. But sometimes those things you can pop back in, and then you're kind of – it may take a week or so to kind of get your feel back, and sometimes those things are longer than that if you pull some tendons or whatever.
They won't get Seth Smith back this weekend. Possibility maybe next weekend. How would Smith coming back in kind of help? It obviously helps, but, I mean, how would it shake that lineup? You know, you may could, you know, Pratt would be the leadoff guy. And I think Tucker's been having a better approach since he's come back. But, man, Seth Smith getting him back, that would be huge as well down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that they could desperately use to kind of fulfill that second base spot now, because everybody would assume that Monastery would go out to center field in a world where McIntyre is out for some time. So you have a second base spot that was originally won by Tucker, but obviously Seth Smith took that and looked good there. So if you could put him back in that lineup, you'd feel good. But man, it's just, I mean, losing Dalton McIntyre is just brutal just because of the production. I mean, up until the last two games, it was like if he's leading off, you got your first guy on base almost out of him automatically. It's just it's a brutal loss to an already arsenal of injuries they've had between Landon Payne, McCarty English, you know, Seth Smith for some time, Nolan Tucker for some time, and now Dalton McIntyre. So the fact that they're really still somewhat okay as far as record and standings-wise is honestly pretty remarkable, I would say.
We're visiting with Dima Mixon, Southern Miss beat writer for the Student Prince and Big Gold Nation. He also is the host for 4th Street Sports. On Twitter, I still call it Twitter, even though it's X, Dima_Mixon. That Twitter account last night, you quoted Christian Ostrander by saying this, which I thought was really, really interesting in regards to Nico Mazza. Christian Ostrander was asked about Nico Mazza pitching in the game. He said he told Mazza on Saturday that he would pitch on Tuesday because his pitch count was very low. Oz later said, quote, "I have not decided yet," end quote, on whether Mazza will pitch on Friday. Expand, Dima.
Yeah, I mean, we just asked him, it was actually Sam Sklar, the Asterisk American, he asked him what was kind of the deal with bringing Mazza into this pitch, and he said he told him on Saturday that, you know, because you're low pitch count, he thought he needed it, he thought he needed still some work there, and I think the only reason he didn't commit to Friday is because when you pitch somebody on Tuesday, it's kind of hard to see them starting on Friday. I don't think that means Mazza isn't a weekend starter this weekend, but I do think it's possible. I mean, because you think of even Billy Oldham, who had a low pitch count. I do think you could maybe see just kind of a move up in the weekend rotation this weekend. So you could see Billy Oldham on Friday night, potentially Armstead Saturday, then Mazza on Sunday. But obviously that kind of shakes it up for the next weekend. So I don't know what they're going to do. And I think that's why he has said he hasn't decided yet. Obviously just trying to focus on winning that game last night. But, I mean, it was not on my bingo card. I'll tell you that right now. When Mazza starts trotting out, I'm like, what is going on?
Only 27 pitches. I could see where he and Billy.
Like a bullpen day, but
yeah, couldn't you see where maybe Armistead doesn't move, but Billy goes to Friday and Nico goes to Saturday? That would still enable him to possibly pitch the following Friday. Or they could just shake it up and go Oldham Friday and Mazza Saturday from here on.
Yeah, I mean, I think either one of those possibilities. I think maybe this weekend is to test that possibility if you were to go the latter option of what you just said. But I do think I would predict Billy Oldham will start on Friday night this weekend. I don't know what it's going to be like for the next few weekends, but I do think I would be pretty surprised if Mazza pitched. Again, only 27 pitches, but again, just, you know, it just throws off your routine and stuff when you pitch a lot. And so that's one thing they don't want to do, especially with the depletion of arms they've had. But I thought JB looked pretty good last night, and some of the other guys are coming along on that bullpen. You know, you talk about a Cross Sibley. I don't know how much you're going to see of him this weekend just because of how much he pitched on Sunday. He definitely needs a rest. So it'll be interesting. Thankfully, it's a ball club you feel like Southern Miss matches up well against in ULM. But, you know, I've felt that a lot of ways this year, and Southern Miss has dropped a few games where I felt that. So
down 6-2, guys rallied for the second straight game. You worry, though. You're thankful for the resilience. But some of that, you know, inconsistency, and some of it has to do being baseball. I get it. But you feel like you can't bounce back, you know, like you can't get in a hole like that. Two more errors last night.
Yeah.
If this team exits early, whether it's, you know, as a three seed in a regional, or if the worst were to happen and a lot of inconsistency down the stretch, don't you think that would be probably the situation, getting themselves in too many early holes?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely been the routine of this team. But, I mean, I would argue, honestly, that they have gotten into a lot of holes that they haven't been able to get out of, and that's really been more on the pitching staff. And you're going to need some of those guys to really step up if you want any chance to win in tournament games, because tournament games are just so much more different, especially if you lose in the first round or something like that, and you got to come out of the loser's bracket. I mean, I don't think anybody right now could say that they would be confident Southern Miss would make it out of a loser's bracket just because you don't have that many arms you're confident in. And maybe it is something that you see a Nick Monaster come and pitch in that scenario. I don't know. But it will be interesting. I mean, I still think you have to remember too that Nicholls State, very good ball club. They have they hit the ball very well. I mean, that's not just some random team coming in to the Pete. Like that might be a regional team, honestly. So that could be more of a four seed in a regional, but they're still every bit as good as Penn or whoever from last season. So that's still a good team, and I think it does say a lot that Southern Miss was able to come back and win that game, especially considering the way they did it. And with losing McIntyre in the middle of it, I mean, that says something about the team's mentality and, like you said, they're resilient.
Damon, don't insult the Quakers. Just be careful. Don't insult the Quakers. Hey, man, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
That's Dema Mixon. You can follow him on X at Dema_Mixon, or you can read him on Big Gold Nation, Student Prince, and listen to him on 4th Street Sports. We're going to talk Southern Miss golf as they get ready for the Sun Belt Championship next week. Eddie Brescher as Eagle Hour continues on a Wednesday.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate Dema Mixon joining us, as well as Travis Creel. If you missed either one of those interviews in the first half of the show, you can go back and listen on demand at Super Talk Eagle Hour at supertalk.fm or in podcast form. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audible, or you can just ask Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Kelly stepped out. Michael Mergens and I continue from the Southern Bancor Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. April, perfect time for golf. But before we get to golf, it's always a great day to go eat lunch at 4th Street on 4th Street in Hattiesburg. 4th Street Bar and Grill, home of the $9.95 lunch. Always remember, Bob Getty approved Catfish Friday. Catfish every Friday. $9.95 comes with sweet tea or a soft drink of your choice. 4th Street, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. The week following the Masters found Southern Miss Golf in central Mississippi at the Mossy Oak Collegiate. up in West Point. Here to talk to us about that, as well as the upcoming Sun Belt Championship, Southern Miss golf coach Eddie Brescher, the coolest man in the Hub City. Eddie, how's your Wednesday?
Man, I'm doing great, Luke. Always an absolute honor to be on with you, my man.
Well, let's talk some golf, and let's, before we get to the tournament, just thoughts on the Masters. Scotty's the man. Nobody knows how the feet do that, and the swing is as good as it is. But it was as much as the drama we thought might be on Sunday, it really wasn't a dramatic Sunday.
Yeah, you know, your guess is as good as mine with that footwork. I don't know if he's doing the cha-cha slide or if he's hitting a golf ball, but hey, to each their own, and it works. Because he is printing money right now with the way that man's playing golf. So it's pretty incredible. I thought for sure, we were talking about it when we were on the road, and we got to watch a good bit of it in our downtime when we were at Mossy. And, you know, we figured for sure there's going to be a playoff. With the way this thing's shaking out, some of the best players in the world, you know, certainly it's going to be a playoff. And, boy, were we proven wrong. Scotty prevails again.
Yeah, you know, it's like $12 million in the last month or so. It's just, it's pretty insane. Tim Yelverton told us last week when he was over there to work with Hodges and Straka, he said that was the Monday was the fastest and firmest he'd ever seen Augusta, I guess because of the rain, but it's pretty wild. All right, let's talk about your guys at the Mossy Oak Collegiate at Mossy Oak in West Point. It all begins with Robbie Ladder. Robbie shoots a 64. It's always fun whenever, you know, these old heads pull out something they haven't done in their entire career. He started with a bogey and still shot a 64?
Yeah, you know, we were joking about it and said, Robbie's due factor's kicking in, because let me tell you, as good of a player as that young man is, he is due. So to see him shoot 64 is fantastic. You know, what's funny is, Robbie is arguably one of the best ball strikers in the country. There's no doubt about that. So to see that putter heat up for him, he changed his grip this past week working with our assistant coach Camillo. And so, you know, caught a little bit of fire with that and started off hot. Because let me tell you, with those pin locations they had out there, they were extremely difficult. The greens were in great shape and fantastic. Fairways were good. They were tight around the greens for chipping and pitching. But you know, to see Robbie get that putter on fire a little bit, man, it was awesome to watch. You know, and then Ryan with the 69. I mean, it's kind of tough because you're like, man, Ryan shoots 69, and it was completely overshadowed with the 64 from Robbie. But, I mean, that 69 was just as impressive as anything. But, man, that 64, that would have led a tour event out there.
At the collegiate level, I mean, him changing that grip, we're talking about, you know, the next to last tournament of the season, the last tournament of the regular season, is that rare? Is that something that you don't encourage those guys to do, or they just need to fix it if it's something obvious?
No, I mean, what I encourage our guys to do is, you know, we had to talk about this before the event started. We have had a history of going up there, and you know, obviously the in-state rivalry, I think we've just tried a little bit too hard. And so I hit a major talking point with our guys before starting this event of, look, I don't care how you do it. You can fade it. You can draw it. You can hit it high, hit it low. You can hit driver off the deck. If that's the way you like to play golf, play your game. And so I say that to say, you know, with Robbie, if he wanted to make that change, if I'm against that, that puts doubt in that player's mind. And I didn't want to put any doubt in his mind or anyone else's. So the fact that he has made that grip change with the way he had held the golf club, and actually, you know, it was also a putter change too a few weeks back, I fully support that. If that's what he feels he needs to do to improve, then that's great. Because if he gets better, our team gets better.
Absolutely. So turn our sights to the Sun Belt Championship. And before we get into that, let's just talk about where it's going to be at Annandale. Of course, famous course, been some big tournaments there. How special is it for the state of Mississippi to host a conference tournament?
I think it's fantastic. You know, this is year two of four that we are contracted to be at Annandale Golf Club. It's a fantastic test. The greens will be firm. They will be fast. It's not a particularly long golf course, but it has some teeth. You know, we'll probably play it right at 7,100 yards, which is not real long from what we see in the regular season, but length is not always the determining factor for a difficulty on a golf course. If you start putting pins in some difficult locations and you have firmer conditions, it makes it pretty tough. But being right up the road in Annandale is, I know my wife likes it because I'll get home a lot sooner than later. So I'll be able to get home and help with the kids and whatnot. But hopefully we won't be back till Thursday night and we'll be bringing home some hardware.
Visiting with Southern Miss golf coach Eddie Brescher as the men's golf team prepares for the Sun Belt Championship in Annandale and Madison next Monday through Thursday, the 22nd through the 25th. How is that tournament different than a normal tournament? Is it? What's the format?
So this tournament, and this is what I talked to the guys about yesterday, and we always try to make this a talking point going into the event. It's two tournaments in one. You have 14 teams that sponsor men's golf in the Sun Belt Conference. So every team in Sun Belt has a men's golf program. With that, you play three rounds of stroke play, so 18 each day. And after those 54 holes or those three rounds of stroke play, the top four teams advance to Thursday, and then it's mano-a-mano match play. Whoever finishes first in stroke play plays fourth in stroke, second plays third. Winners go to the championship to fight for the crown.
Wow. So it is – there is some – Thursday it gets wild around the course.
Yeah, there's a little bit of drama in it. You know, in match play, it's anyone's ball game. That's the biggest thing is you just got to get to match play. Because it doesn't matter if you win stroke play by 50 shots or five shots. It all starts over in match play. So that's kind of the unique thing with golf because then you're mano-a-mano. And when I say that, I mean each team has five players that represent their university. So you as a coaching staff, you match up against who you want each guy to play against. And then it's just one-on-one match play. Each match is a point. The first team to 3 points advances and wins that match.
Should be fun. Before we let you go, a couple minutes left. We talked to Lucy Nunn Burke with Women's Golf a few weeks back, and they were getting ready to pour concrete. We have had substantial developments just in the last couple weeks, Eddie, about the Southern Miss Golf Center.
Yes, we certainly owe a tip of the cap to old Mother Nature up there because she's been quite nice lately. So we've had some good progress on the golf center. The Gittes Golf Center is going to be a huge addition for not only our golf programs but Hattiesburg Country Club. You know, it's going to be extremely beneficial on how we can operate as a golf program. Yes, it will help recruiting, but the way we operate is going to be first class. Everything about this building is first class. We're going to do it the right way, do it once, and be done with it. And so now we have got all the exterior walls framed up. The roof is getting framed up right now. They'll have the roof finished up soon. And then once the roof is finished up, then Mother Nature can't stop us there. So she can rain, and we'll still get to rocking and rolling inside.
We talked last week. I told you off air. We talked to Martell down at Grand Bear. We talked to Timmy Overton up at Old Waverly, and we were, you know, Mark Blackburn now with what he's doing, and you know, Homa finishing, you know, really close to the top in the Masters, and then Sam Hall and Mr. Carpenter. I mean, it is Southern Miss golf. I think a lot of people don't realize how even like right now, but. For the last 40 years, how much Southern Miss golf has impacted the golf game as a whole at every level?
Absolutely. You know, and so with having – technically right now we have three golf alumni that are in the top 50 golf instructors in the nation. You've got VJ up at Waverly. You've got Tim. So you've got VJ Trolio, Tim Yelverton, and then Mark Blackburn. I mean, all three of those guys play golf here at Southern Miss. You know, you got Coach Sam Hall. He's in the Mississippi Golf Hall of Fame. He's in the Mississippi all kinds of Hall of Fames. It's hard to keep track of with Coach Hall. He's such a legend. You know, you got Robbie Webb. He's a Mississippi Golf Hall of Fame member.
Yeah.
James Ray Carpenter, past president of the PGA of America. You know, when you watch the PGA Championship this summer and the president of the PGA hands that winner the trophy, well, heck, that was James Ray Carpenter, another Southern Miss guy, you know. So Glenn Natchick, who's a multi-time winner out there on the tour. So, I mean, the lineage is deep, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to attract the best student athletes from all over the world, bring them here, develop them, and let's keep this lineage going for the future. This golf center is going to help substantially for that.
Daddy, thanks for your time, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Luke. Southern Miss, to the top.
To the top. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate Eddie Brescher, head coach of Southern Miss Men's Golf, joining us as they get ready to hopefully bring home some hardware from the Sun Belt Championship next week, the Annandale Golf Club in Madison. Appreciate Coach Brescher as he finishes up his sixth season at the head of Southern Miss Golf. Fourth segment of the Eagle Hour, today and every day, brought to you by DBAT. DBAT, the place to go for softball and baseball instruction, 8 batting cages, and the Pro Shop, along with world-class instruction located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, or visit them online, dbathattiesburg.com. Also remember, if you're looking for some sweets and the place to go, just to hang out, coffee shop, iced coffee, but beignets are the specialty at Mobe Beignet in Hattiesburg. All kinds of dipping sauces and sweets and treats, and they cook them fresh for you. When you get to Mobe, your beignets are always cooked fresh. It's on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Women's golf finishing up the Sun Belt Conference Championship at Lakewood down in Point Clear, Alabama. The ladies right now in eighth place. Momoko Ando tied for 17th overall, shooting a 71 today. Taylor Tribble also firing a 71. Sun Belt baseball action last night. Old Dominion defeats Virginia and Norfolk 7-4. Texas State goes on the road and defeats Incarnate Word 10-8. Georgia State defends their home ground and defeats nearby Kennesaw State 5-4. Appalachian State falls to Western Carolina on the road 10-5. Coastal Carolina goes into Chapel Hill and defeats the Tar Heels by a score of 5-4. Marshall drops a home contest to Morehead State 7-2. Louisiana Tech defeats ULM in Monroe 6-2. Samford it loses to Troy as the Trojans go on the road to Birmingham, defeat Samford 10-8. And Louisiana down in Hammond last night defeats Southeastern Louisiana 15-8. Tonight, across the Sun Belt, Georgia Southern turns around, or Georgia Southern visits Kennesaw after Kennesaw lost to Georgia State. Georgia Southern at Kennesaw tonight. Marshall at Morehead State, James Madison at VMI, Louisiana hosting Southeastern Louisiana, Troy hosting Jacksonville State, and South Al in the Big Easy to take on the Tulane Green Wave. Jenny Hazelwood, head coach of Southern Miss Volleyball, announcing a new assistant coach to the volleyball staff. Tristan Sells comes to Southern Miss from Mississippi College. Originally played volleyball at Palm Beach State College. Later on was at Valdosta State University, and that's where she started her coaching career. So Tristan Sells, the new assistant head coach for Southern Miss Volleyball. Jenny Hazelwood stating, "We are incredibly fortunate to have Tristan Sells joining the Southern Miss Volleyball program. Her experience as a player and coach will add so much to the continued growth of this program," noting Coach Sells being a great teacher of the game and already a positive impact on the squad. So welcome to Southern Miss, Tristan Sells, brand new assistant volleyball coach. Going back to last night, if you missed some of the highlights, talking to Travis Creel and then some discussion with Dima Mixon. So Monastere with a huge night last night, raises his average to 263, goes 3-for-3 last night, 4 runs, 4 RBIs, has a huge hit with a home run, and then another to tie the ball game, a hit in the bottom of the ninth, and then Russo steps up and walks it off with a three-run jack. The other big news out of the night, probably the biggest news, is that Dalton McIntyre dislocates his shoulder sliding back into first base, and no report yet on what it might be. Travis Creel told us earlier in the show they don't know the extent of any structural damage. So later this week they'll be able to make a determination how long he would be out. You would think that he doesn't obviously play this weekend against ULM. So the Eagles leadoff man batting over 400, possibly multiple weeks, could be out. Hopefully nothing structural is damaged. If something structural would be damaged, that might put him out for the year. Again, no reports on that yet, just the speculation as we await to see. Also, one more note from last night, Nico Mazza comes in and finishes the game, throws two innings of shutout baseball, only 27 pitches. Coach Ostrander told the media after the game, Dima Mixon talked about this. Nico already knew going into last night that he was going to pitch. Just an opportunity for them to allow him to get some more things worked out in live game simulation, live game action. So Dima and others wondering maybe if we'll see a little change in the rotation, maybe Oldham on Friday, possibly Mazza on Saturday. Michael, it is an overcast day in the Pine Belt. We get any rain today?
No, just cloudy today and tomorrow.
That's good. That's really good. Nothing for the weekend, huh?
No. Well, yeah, let me take that back. 80% chance of rain on Saturday.
Okay. We can adjust. Good stuff. Appreciate you joining us. Kelly will join us back tomorrow. Natalie Poole, head coach from Saltball, going to join us tomorrow talking about the recent sweep of Georgia State. Lady Eagles over 500 in the conference. That'll be tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll catch you same time on Thursday. As always, Southern Miss
to the top. Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.